Our New Testament lesson this morning comes from the 21st chapter of Revelation. And the 12 gates are 12 pearls. Each of the gates is a single pearl, and the street of the city is pure gold, transparent as glass. I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God is its light, and its lamp is the Lamb. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. Its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. People will bring into it the glory and the honor of the nations, but nothing unclean will enter it, nor anyone who practices abomination or falsehood, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Then the angel showed me in the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, through the middle of the street of the city. On either side of the river is the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, producing its fruit each month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. Nothing accursed will be found there anymore, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. And there will be no more night. They need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever.
People of God, let us pray. Gracious God, we ask that you would open our ears and open our hearts, that we might hear your word, that we might know what it is that you have asked us to do, that you might move in us and encourage and strengthen us. In your name we pray. Amen. Our gospel this morning comes from John. From John chapter 5, beginning at the first verse. After this, there was a festival of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now in Jerusalem, by the sheep gate, there is a pool, called in Hebrew Bethzatha, which has five porticos. In these lay many invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man was there who had been ill for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew he had been there a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. And while I am making my way, someone else steps down ahead of me." Jesus said to him, "Stand up, take your mat, and walk." At once the man was made well, and he took up his mat and began to walk. Now that day was a Sabbath. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Entering the sheep gate, Jesus comes to a place called Bethzatha, or Bethsaida is another translation, where there were two pools of water that were fed by an underground cistern. Around these pools, they had built covered colonnades. They would have been a lovely structure intended to make the pools beautiful for people to come and enjoy. Think green space in the middle of the city for people to appreciate. But the vision of these beautiful pools and porticos and structures has been marred by the presence of an awful lot of sick people. The lame, the blind, the deaf. Illnesses that were not contagious, but spoke of things like birth defects or injuries and the aftermath of illnesses, genetic disabilities, or even just plain old age. These folks are gathered around the pool because it was believed that the water had healing properties. The traditional story was that every once in a while the water would begin to move by itself, that the tip of an angel's wing would have touched the water in that moment, and that if you got to the water first, if you were the very first person to get into the water, you just might receive the healing that you were seeking. Because of this, then, as soon as the water would bubble from the underground cistern, the sick would in some way, shape, or form rush to the water, trying to get to the first one, trying to get to the pool to be healed. Bethzatha, then, was a place of great hope and great despair. Imagine hoping and believing that you could get to the water and be healed, only to not receive that healing when you got into the water. Or worse yet, imagine being just behind the person who got to the water, who did receive some sort of healing. As he entered Jerusalem, that was the scene that greeted Jesus that morning. His attention, for some reason, was drawn to one particular man. We have no idea why, except that he had been lame for 38 years. I wonder how long he'd been coming to the pool. How many other treatments do you suppose he'd tried before he decided that the pool was his last best chance? How many times did he get his hopes up and still not be able to walk? How many doctors did he see? How many prayers were offered? We have no idea, but we do suspect that this man was someone who had been committed to walking again, because after all, it's been 38 years and he's still at the pool hoping to be healed. "Do you want to be well?" Jesus asks him. Do you really want to be well? Do you want to walk again? It seems a strange question, doesn't it? This man is sitting here beside this pool. He's been lame 38 years, and he's still determined that he's going to walk again. But I think maybe Jesus was asking him the bigger question. I think Jesus maybe was working on what is really at the heart of the matter. Do you want to be well? He has been ill for so long. His life has revolved around this thing for so long. Does he really want to be better? Is he really ready to take on the challenge that will be walking again, living as a whole person? Do you really want to be made well? Is the suffering that you endure day by day that you are used to the thing that you want to get rid of, or is it easier than the new trials and the new hardships and the new uncertainties that will come with being healed? That's a bigger question than it seems at first, isn't it? How often do we say that we want to be better? We want to be free from a particular sin or a bad habit? Or we want to be healed from a particular struggle that we have, but we're not yet ready to put in the work to get there? How often do we say that we really want to be well, to feel better, to be healthier, but it just doesn't seem to work out the way that we think it should, does it? How often do we resist because there are things that hold us back or slow us down or keep us stuck? Do we really want to be well? Sometimes I think that the answer really is yes. Sometimes the answer might actually be no. What we really want, more often than not, is to be made well, made whole, but not have to do anything to get ourselves there, because it would be just easier if it would happen by magic. Jesus' question, then, is one that we have to ponder for ourselves. Do you want to be made well? Are you willing to take on the challenges that come with being a whole person? Are you willing to be changed? Are you willing to be different? Do you really want to let go of whatever that is and face the next challenge that will come? The rest of Jesus' exchange with this man is revealing. At first glance, it's easy to write off his response as in some kind of an excuse. I don't have anyone here to put me in the pool. When the water is stirred up, someone always gets there before me. Excuses, right? It would be easy to argue that the man doesn't really want to be well because he's not trying harder, right? Pull yourself up by your own bootstraps is what our culture often tells us. Often we take on the attitude that we expect people to do for themselves. Just get up and walk. It says far more about the rugged independence of our society that we could make this an excuse than the man's actual response to Jesus. Jesus doesn't tell the man that he should just try harder to get to the pool, does he? He should just work a little bit more? That if he really wanted to be made well, he could do it himself? Jesus instead takes this man's response at face value. I want to be well, but I cannot do it alone. I need help, and I don't have the help that I need. So what if that's true? What if we take this man's response at face value? What if what takes it to be healed is not more self-reliance or working harder or applying more willpower? What if sometimes we need help? What if all of us need a hand up sometimes? What if all of us need to offer a hand a bit more often? What if we really want to be well, but we don't have the ability to do it alone? What if our friend or our neighbor or family member really does want to be well, but they don't have the ability to do it on their own? Jesus says to the man, stand up, take your mat, and walk. This man does have to do something for himself, doesn't he? Jesus doesn't do it all for him. Jesus doesn't stand him up on his own feet and say, okay, now one foot and move his leg and move the other leg. Instead, Jesus says, stand up, take up your mat and walk. He has to stand up and trust Jesus. He has to try and stand. If you are healed, but you never test your legs, you'll never know if you've received healing, will you? If he never took a risk, if he never tried, he wouldn't know that he had received the healing Jesus offered. And I wonder if that doesn't also teach us something as well. How often do we want to be well, but we're unwilling to try for ourselves? How often do we offer to help someone else without also encouraging them to try for themselves too? Jesus offers us a balance, helping and encouraging the man to do for himself as well. He has to do something for himself, and Jesus is right there to give him what he needs. I wonder if Jesus doesn't offer us that same promise. If we are willing to step out in faith, how much more help will we receive? If we're willing to ask for help, to trust someone else with what we need, how much further would we actually get? I wonder how many people would benefit from us asking them, how can I help you? With the intent of actually doing something about what they say they need. How often do we get stuck because we're unwilling to ask for the help that we need? I wonder what benefit would come if we were willing to ask for or receive help that is offered to us. What holds you captive? What do you feel paralyzed by? What are the things that limit you or that hold you back? The things that you know that you should be doing better, but you're just stuck in old patterns of behavior and not getting anywhere. What would be different if you asked for help or took a risk to step forward? What are the walls that you hide behind? Do you want to be well? Do you want to walk upright in the light of Christ? Or at this point, is it just easier and safer to stay stuck or sick or limited or wounded? Do you long to be faithful but lack the willingness to actually take the step that you need to be healed? Do you want to be well? There are millions of stories in our own lives about the times that we have sort of kind of wanted to be better, but not been brave enough to take it on. This story reminds us that just wishing isn't going to get us where we need to go. Sometimes we have to be willing to share the journey with others and ask for the help that we actually need. We need to be willing to be specific, and we need to be willing to accept the helping hands that are offered. This story reminds us that we need to be willing to offer that same help and hope to others. We have to ask people what they need, not assume, but also be willing to give. And sometimes what we think is true is only a piece of the story. This story finally reminds us that faith is about risk. It's about trust. It's about taking a step, not knowing for sure what will happen. Jesus offers this man the invitation to be well, but he has to be willing to risk standing on his legs that have not worked for 38 years. Do you want to be well? How will you respond to the places of wounding or darkness in your own life? Do you want to be well? Jesus offers us healing and forgiveness. If we are willing to risk, we are offered a new life in Christ. Are you willing to trust Jesus enough to try, knowing that your leg might not work the first time, that you might fall? Are you willing to trust Jesus enough, knowing that in the end, he offers that we might fly? What would it take for you to step out in faith? Who do you need to offer a hand to so that they can take that first step? Let's pray. Gracious God, you come to each of us in our own places of wounding or darkness and ask, do you want to be well? Give us the courage to pursue healing. Give us the courage to come along beside those we know are in need and offer them the help, the hope, the love that they need as well. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.